and I am going to pass this test in the name of Jesus with flying colors. And then the devil won't come this way again. So you might learn something this morning. All right. Get ready. Get your oil ready. And get you a pen and a pad so you could take a few notes. I believe you're going to learn something this morning. And you see, God has had me in a warfare mode for the past 3-4 days. I've been teaching you deliverance. I've been teaching tactics to destroy the works of the enemy. And today is going to be another one of those. So it's going to be a good morning. Pastor Michael will be here tomorrow with his message. I just asked him if we could switch because I'm mad at the devil this morning. I mean, that devil, he just won't learn. And that's because he's a devil. He don't leave God alone. He don't leave us alone. But what he always better know is that when he hit me, I'm going to hit him back. And I'm going to hit him back this morning, and I'm going to hit him hard. Talk to you while I'm looking for something on my computer. This is what I want you to understand. as a deliverance minister, okay, anybody that you agree to help, anybody that you agree to pray for, anybody that you agree to pray with, the moment you agree to pray with them, your soul becomes in jeopardy. So you say, what you talking about, Erica? Well, the moment you agree to pray with somebody, that means that you, because the Bible says, let the strong bear the burdens of the weak. So at that moment, you are the strong. And the moment that you agree to pray for them, their enemy becomes your enemy. By that, I mean this. Whatever is in them at that moment begins to formulate a plan how to control and dominate you. Because you see, it's only going to be one winner. Now, the devil knows that the winner is Jesus, right? But at that point, the devil is not looking at you in flesh and blood, because the devil is not flesh and blood anyway. So at that moment, what the devil and demons see, they see a spirit that is opposing them. And they only kind of like regard you as like a human spirit, all right, which is what you are. A spirit living in a body that has a soul. So the moment you agree to help them, the number one thing of importance to you is this. Is that person capable, or is that person in a position to go all the way to the end? To go all the way to the finish line. Now, you know that the person had weakness, because if they didn't have weakness, they wouldn't be in the position to need somebody else to help bear them up. So the question then becomes, how vulnerable is the person to their own weaknesses? Or to put it another way, how vulnerable is the person to any level or any degree of the bondage that they're in? Meaning, if a person is in bondage to fear, let's say fear. Well, is the level that they fear great enough to overpower you? Now understand, I'm not talking about overpowering you in the flesh. I'm talking about, is the spirit within them strong enough to overpower you spiritually? Because what you're dealing with them has nothing to do with the flesh. Please get this. So therefore, even if their flesh is under subjection to fear, that is not what you have to worry about. You have to worry about, are they strong enough to overcome the spirit of fear that has taken them captive? Or are they strong enough to stand long enough that you can work with them to overcome, here's a good one, witchcraft. Okay? So, because that's really what I'm dealing with. Occult, witchcraft, and these kind of spirits. So, you gotta determine, number one, this is the key thing, how well do they know God? How able are they to trust in God's ability to deliver them? Okay? And you don't find that out very easily, because a lot of time, what that demon is going to do, if you say are a spirit-filled believer and you love God with all your heart and you have overcome fear or you've overcome witchcraft, well, the devil knows that he shouldn't be able to get you in that way. But he knows something else, too. He knows that if he can manipulate, in any shape, form, or fashion, the person that you're supposed to be trying to help, then he knows he can use that person to transfer what they need to transfer to trip you up or to make you ineffective, or their ultimate goal is to bring you under their subjection. So what they gonna do, I told you how they work. Your intent is to help somebody. And they know this. They also know that, well, maybe I'll let this here person help them a little bit in the area of fear, because we got them with a sex demon, or we got them with lust, or we got them with witchcraft. Okay? But the person who's coming, the person who has been assigned to help that person, has no idea what is really going on in the spirit of the person that they think that they're going to help. They think they're going to help the person, but Satan's assignment is to bring them under control or under subjection to the person that they're trying to help. So you said, this is kind of interesting, Sister Erica. Well, it gets better. It gets better. Because what they're attempting to do, in every opportunity that they can, is to get you into any type of emotional agreement with that person, any type of spiritual agreement, any type of will agreement, any type of agreement with that person. Because the devil knows that the minute you agree with them, some of them is open to, and you're open to, the vulnerability of a measure of transference from that person at that exact moment. So it may not manifest to you, and please Please, please, you ain't got to feel a thing. You don't have to feel nothing. You won't feel anything. But it'll be like Samson. You look up and your hair be cut off. And then you're in total vulnerability. Your vulnerability is total to the Philistines. So what that person, what the demons in that person will do is they start a campaign. How many times can I get this person to agree with me on anything? Anything. How many times can I get them to agree with me? And every time you agree, your own vulnerability becomes more and more open to the spirit operating in the person who you're supposed to be helping. I have had this happen to me so many times. That is why a lot of times people think I'm hard. I'm not hard. I am never hard. But I am aware of the devil's tactics. Then the devil is going to start working in that person that you think you're trying to help. And it will begin to get that person to sin. That's what it wants it to do. It wants that person to sin. It wants that person to violate God. It wants that person to doubt God's ability. You hear me? Because the person does not have 100% confidence in God. And that could be because they have so many altars and they have so many different personalities in operation, and all the personalities have so many different demons. And each one of those demons in those personalities is trying to get you to sin. And it doesn't have to be any kind of sin. Any kind of sin. It could be in your mind. It could be in your heart. It could be a lie. Just a, you know, we sometimes think, oh, a little lie. Well, you know, God don't see them little big. A lie is a lie. But anything to come into agreement with it. Now what? Hear me this morning. The devil knows this. If the devil can get that person to sin, then that person lost everything that you had brought them up to in Christ at that point. And the devil now has what? An even stronger foothold in the life of that person. Why? Because the Bible says when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it goes into dry places seeking rest. And then it comes back to the house from which it was in. And it brings what? Seven worse demons. And the scripture says the last state of that man is worse than the beginning. Are you hearing me this morning? I hope you are. I hope you are. So, when you come back around that person, because if they're in that bad of shape, they carnal anyway. I don't care what kind of gift, because the Bible says that the gifts and calling are without repentance. So the Bible doesn't give you a gift and take it back from you. Okay? It doesn't work like that. They still have those gifts. They still have whatever it is in them that made them try to seek out help in the first place. But the problem is, whatever the demon was that was subdued or submitted at that time now has seven times. Like if it was one demon, which we know there's no such thing. So you gotta if it was 100 demons, so now you got to deal with about 7,000 demons. Because it multiplies, brothers and sisters. It's not one seven demons. It's seven times every one that came out. Seven times, if 10 came out, do the math. If 100 came out, do the math. If 1,000 came out, do the math. So that's what you got to deal with the next time you confront this person to help them. And the devil is having a good laugh about it. And it really infuriates me. Because the person who you think you're trying to help, they're going to say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I don't know what happened. But let me tell you something. That is not going to help the onslaught of demons now empowered by the person you were trying to help to come against you. This is why so many of you have so many problems. Because the people you're trying to help have no intention. Am I saying don't help them? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying now you better teach them what's going to happen. And you better teach them how the enemy is going to attempt to use them against you. And you better protect yourself. Because the person that you're trying to help, they don't have the ability to care what happens to you. Because if they don't care what happens to themselves, how are they going to really care about what happens to you? So then people be looking at me like, look, I understand these demons. I know them. Anybody they feel that they already have, they know to what level or to what degree they can control them. If you are a deliverance minister, if you stand as strong, they know they do not have control over you. So then they are going to find out or attempt to find out a way to bring you under subjection to them, to bring you under control. You see, that control devil is an awful, stinker, fouling, defiling demon. And so much of this is all about control. And the thing that I hate about control, I mean, I just detest it, is that generally it's people who are out of control who feel that they want to control everybody else. Control. So we're on the same page. It's exercising domination, influence, or authority over a thing, over a person, over anything. And it works with selfishness. And control is the strongest structure in the kingdom of self. And trying to get someone to do something out of an impure motive, brothers and sisters, of selfishness, is what control and that control demon is all about. You see, when people have control spirits and when people want to control everything, it is because they don't believe God has it all together. So they want to hold their world together themselves. And by holding their world together by themselves, they already know that a spirit of control knows that people can be easily controlled by other people. And many times, parents who were out of control are the chief number one factor to their own child becoming docile and accommodating. And many times, parents are afraid to let their own children be who they are and allow godly events to unfold because they got this control spirit, because they think and they believe that they got the, that they're the glue that holds everything together. And you know what works with that demon? Pride. Pride will tell another person with a control demon that they know best what you need, that they know what will make your life easier. Brothers and sisters, because your flesh, our flesh, never wants to be discomforted. So people try to control events. People try to control people through many various means because they know that people don't want to be discomforted. People don't want to suffer nothing. People don't want to be uncomfortable, but they do not care who else they make discomforted, who else life they have to disrupt to keep their life comfortable, to keep their life in the way that they believe it should be. And they also, brothers and sisters, don't care. They don't care when the demons in them are trying to control you through the person that you think you're trying to help. And they want to use helplessness. That demon ain't helpless. That demon is right there giving threats, giving advice. All the while, it is manipulating, it is dominating, it has its own personal agenda. And all they see you is a means to their selfish end. And you know what else? Flesh likes to be in control at all times. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says that the flesh is continually opposed to the spirit. Now, the interesting thing about all this is, you there to help the person or whomever it may be, and they know you trust God, but the number one thing within them says, I am afraid to trust the one who made me. I don't believe that God has my best interests at heart because they don't know him. They don't know him. You see, in the flesh and in the natural, there's something in a man or a woman that automatically fears vulnerability to life without cunning, without lying, and without manipulation, and without trying to control the whole situation. Why? Again, because they don't trust God. Because they don't trust God, they manipulate circumstances. Because they don't trust God, they manipulate people. And because they don't trust God, there's only one real reason that they don't trust God, and that is because they don't know him. They don't know him. You see, it's the devil who uses force. It's the devil who uses manipulation. And brothers and sisters, it is the devil who uses control and dispatches and unlooses spirits of control. The moment you force things according to your own will, the moment you do that, you expose your heart to evil spirits. You expose your heart to occultic areas. You see, it is the role of God's own Holy Spirit that lives within us to prompt us, to lead us, and guide us to make correct choices. Post this in that chat room. Any domination, manipulation, intimidation of another person is not the will of God. It is resistance to God's authority and therefore rebellion. And the Bible says rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft. You get it? Domination, manipulation, intimidation, and control is not the will of God. It is resistance to God's authority, and therefore it is rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Brothers and sisters, our free will is very dear to God. You see, God could have forced us to love him. God could have forced us to obey him, but he didn't. He gave us a choice. So therefore, it is in the will of God that we must give others a choice. People fall into the sin of control and manipulation, domination, out of fear. Did you hear me? People fall into the sin of control, manipulation, domination, and intimidation out of fear. Fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of death, fear of poverty, fear of other people, fear of abandonment. Brothers and sisters, we can become controlling out of jealousy or envy. We want what that person has. Some of people even go so far as to want the anointing that's on another person's life. But they want the power for themselves. They want it for themselves, not realizing that the power of God comes to give and not to get. Did you hear what I said? The power of God comes to give and not to get. It's just disgusting how many people try to control other people out of their own spirit of entitlement. Like they entitled. Other people try to control other people out of pride or superiority. Get this, it's wrong. It's wrong. In many cases, people try to control people because of the generational sins in their lives. And they walk around, they carry the spirit of control from many generations. In the Bible, we are given many biblical examples of control. Eve, being deceived, stopped trusting God and wanted control over her world. King Saul tried to play God, and Jezebel, a master at control. Many people are susceptible to controlling spirits who were abandoned, rejected, or neglected by their own father or mother. They seek the missing blessing and try to control their husband, their wives, their children, and then it trickles down to everybody they come in contact with. There's two types of control. There's sweet rebellion control. Sweet rebellion control. And then there's outright rebellion control. Sweet rebellion control is a person who's being outwardly sweet and unassuming. But underneath, in that soul, is nothing but a fierce determination to get their own way. Just like Delilah with Samson in Judges chapter 16. If you really love me, you would. Delilah manipulated a mighty man of God and succeeded where armies had failed. Then you got that outward rebellion, which is overt, aggressive rebellion. That's that Jezebelic type stuff. Wicked, vindictive, manipulative. Jezebel manipulated her husband through browbeating and domination, and she belittled him too. She belittled him. She belittled Ahab over his inability to obtain another person's vineyard. And what she do then? She arranged for that person to die. Anything to get what they want, it's wrong. I don't care what you call it, it's wrong. I detest it. And you should better learn to detest it too. You see, control can work through the spoken word. The Bible say words are life and death in John chapter 6, verse 63. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue and that we eat the fruit of them. Words can be spoken to others through teaching, preaching, appealing, through lust and gullibility. Control. This is the one that gets me. Control works through the prayers of others. There are people that attempt to exert control through their prayers. Those psychic prayers, those soulless realm prayers. They're praying that somebody else would do something that they want them to do, regardless of their free will. It is witchcraft, and it holds people in bondage. And God ain't never told nobody to do that. Never. Control works through actions. Simon the sorcerer practiced magic arts in Acts chapter 8, verse 9. He helped people get high on the wrong spirit, false healings, false miracles. Control can work through giving gifts and doing deeds. This kind of control puts people in obligation where the motives are impure. Control works through sickness, complaining and crying for no other reason than to be an attention-getting device to exert control. Control works through the mind. It's called mind control. Witchcraft and occult practices, sticking pins in dolls, using trigger words, implanting words, hidden word-based programming. Brothers and sisters, please learn to recognize these forms of control. They are nothing but areas of demonic manipulation. But you think you're there to help the person. You got to, this morning, you got to repent, you got to renounce, and you got to reject all ways of control. You got to forgive those who have controlled you or attempted to. And then you got to ask forgiveness for control and manipulation of others. You got to choose God's way as the right way. You got to choose to be open to God. I'm asking you this morning to ask God to create in you a perfect hatred of the sin of control, and ask God to show you, prior to encountering anybody, the trap and the snare that Satan has set in them to trap you with. And guess what? We're all vulnerable. If you ever try to help anybody do anything, you're vulnerable. And you've been vulnerable. Bow your head this morning. I have another prayer over there. These are prayers I pray for myself, because I know what I'm facing. I know what I'm facing when I go to help somebody else with demons. I know I'm putting myself in a life or death situation. I know I'm putting myself in a situation where I'm going to have to win so that I cannot come under subjection to the demons in the person that I'm about to pray with and or for, or the person who I'm just coming in contact with for the first time in my life. I know I'm in a spirit warfare. I know these things. And it bothers me. It bothers me that somebody can ask me to put my life on the line and then just treat it like it ain't nothing. That's why I don't pray for everybody anymore. I'm just not going to do it. I don't have to either. Because I have a will. God gave me a free will. He gave me a will and ability to say yes, and a will and ability to say no, and it doesn't matter who don't like it. But all these people with these spirits of entitlement, they think they're entitled to come in your life and literally to, it doesn't matter to them what happens to you as long as they get what they want. It doesn't matter to them that when they come around you, they bring so many demons that after you've been around them for 20 minutes, you feel so doggone drained, almost like you don't have no life in you, because they done sapped it out of you. Because you came into agreement with them. And you didn't know, you didn't even ask God what their hidden agenda was. As selfish as the world is today, as selfish as people are today, everybody got one. I got a hidden agenda. I don't know if you know that or not, but my hidden agenda is to pray deliverance for 10,000, 20,000, 40,000 people at one time and see them all delivered. That's my hidden agenda. My hidden agenda is to love God because I know him in the fullness of who he is. My hidden agenda is to try to get people to know him and live through the process. And not let them kill me because they have a hidden agenda to make themselves some great one. And they don't really care what they do to anybody else to try to get there. They don't care what spirits they got to unloose on you in order for them to be exalted. I have a hidden agenda to serve Jesus till I die or he come first. So it ain't really hidden. And I think that's why God honors it. But it is better for you to check yourself than have to have God check you. It is better for you to check yourself than have somebody that really knows Jesus, you come in their presence, and then God say, and then they say to God, God, deal with that person that's dealing with me. And all of a sudden, you about dying. Because you ain't the only person God hear from. The very person you messing with, God hear from them too. And he ain't going to overrule their prayer just for you. It ain't going to happen. This morning, bow your head and repent. If you have controlled anybody. And then you really need to repent if you've allowed somebody else with their lying needs to control and manipulate you. And they're full of demons. And the minute they get in your face and you agree with them, all their demons become your demons. In Satan's attempt to use them to bring you under subjection to him. It's a crazy kind of world we live in these days. It's crazy. But I tell you this. There's nothing crazy in Christ. There's nothing crazy in God's love for you. And there's nothing crazy in God's own Holy Spirit that indwells you. But some of you don't have what you think you have. Because you think you got to get it or take it or steal it from another human being. But it all comes from God. And he gives it liberally, severally, and jointly as he wills. So all you're being when you're trying to control somebody else is an agent of Satan. You're being an employee of the devil. You can't steal an anointing. You can't manipulate an anointing. That anointing is God. And it's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. If you have anybody that you're trying to control, dominate, manipulate, or intimidate, why don't you release that person this morning? It won't be nobody like me because, see, I'm up on it. It's not going to happen. I don't care who you think you are. Why? Because I go to my Father every morning and I ask him to release me from any controlling, dominating, ungodly direction that has been used through intent to send to me. Especially from all these crazy people who think they're Jesus Jr. and they know what's better for my life or your life than they do, and they're completely out of control. Do you really want an out of control person controlling you with or without your knowledge. Father God, this morning, I break the power of all ungodly domination, manipulation, and control. And in the name of Jesus, I reject and renounce for myself, for the 10 line, for any person that is abiding under patterns of controlling spirits. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to help us get free from all of their rejection and all of their deep hurts and everything from the controllers, any controller that has kept or attempted to keep me and these people under my voice from knowing who they are in you. Lord God, help them to have their identity in you, so entrenched in you that they will not need to depend on other people or anything else for their identity. Lord Jesus, I ask you to break and loose all of us from any control or ungodly dominance of any person, any institution, any organization, or any type of manipulative influence. Set us free this morning, Lord Jesus. Break us free of all the influences not of you. Break all transferring powers of control. Release angels on our behalf to break every tentacle, cord, and band. Break and destroy the power of mind control this morning. Break and destroy dominance, control, manipulation off the minds this morning. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we may have knowingly yielded or unknowingly yielded to a spirit of control through any other person in an attempt to help them. Or we may have knowingly yielded to a spirit of intimidation and control because of fear or not wanting to face the issues. This morning I confess this is sin. And I confess that anyone with any intent that projected this toward me did not do it in love. Please forgive them. Please forgive them. Help me to hate the sin of control enough. Create in me a perfect hatred of it, even more so. Because, Lord Jesus, I choose to trust you. Lord Jesus, I choose to be open to the Zoe, God kind of life. And I choose to be here naked before you without any devices to hide me, Lord Jesus. I choose to be open to your perfect love and fatherhood in my life. Lord God, in the name of Jesus this morning, expose. Bring it to the forefront. Bring it to their minds and bring it to their memories. Any person, any situation, any man or any woman that has attempted to use control and controlling spirits against them. Bring it to their mind. Bring the name of the persons or person. Right now, give it to them, Holy Spirit. Don't let these spirits operate in the dark any longer. Give them the names, the dates, the times, and the places, and let them see it this morning for themselves. We cannot know, Holy Spirit, except you reveal it to us. You said ask, you said seek, you said knock, and it would be open unto us. Reveal it this morning. Give them the names. Holy Spirit gonna give you the names. grab that paper towel. Father God, you gave them the names. Every transferring spirit of domination, manipulation, control, I bind you up in the name of Jesus. I command you to loose that body. I command you to come up and out. Go! Get out, control. Go! Go! All hidden works of darkness through control. Go! Loose your stronghold. Get out. In the name of Jesus. All the way out. I break the power of the spirit of witchcraft control, witchcraft mind control, and rebellion against God. Go! Get out. It's a serious thing. You better look out for yourself. Because I guarantee you ain't no demon going to look out for you. And ain't nobody that you trying to help going to give up their life for you like you just gave up and are giving up yours for them. Am I telling you to stop it? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying take care of yourself. Because ain't nobody to take care of you but Jesus and you. And Jesus is giving you divine intelligence, divine wisdom, and knowledge how to do that. But you got to use it. If you don't, the devil will take your act of kindness and wrap it around your neck and choke the life out of you with it. I know I'm going to die, but I want to sleep away. I don't want to leave here before my time. And I don't want to leave here because somebody did a soul exchange on me. And I agreed with them to do it through stupidity. You better take care of yourself. That's why God gives you knowledge. He gives you his word. It's right in there. Be ye not, don't become surety for another man's debt. Sin causes debts. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Michael. Thank you. I want to tell you, grace got us. Where sin abounds, there doth grace abound much more.
Have you ever met those who keep humming when the song's through? It's like they're living life to a whole different tune. And have you ever met those that keep hoping when it's hopeless? It's like they figured out what the rest happened. Yeah, the second you realize what you have inside, it's only just a matter of standing in the rain again. You might as well be dancing.
and bubbling inside of you, spilling over cause your life is full. How incredible, undeniable, monumental like the Eiffel, uncontrollable, let the joy flow through. Ha ha. Giddy over pity, pretty please, let me see your hands in the air with you at your seats. Warm it up, let go, shout it out, celebrate. When you can't articulate, just say amazing grace.
The second you realize what you have inside, it's only just a matter of.
Where sin abounds, there doth grace abound much more. But brothers and sisters, God ain't never called any of us to be stupid, because the Holy Ghost is divine God's intelligence in us. Keep your trust high. Keep your faith high in God, in God, and put not your trust in the arm of flesh. You hear me this morning? You hear me? And always watch out for them controllers. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And they have one objective: control what is under the control of God. It's going to be a great day today. It's a good morning. It's a good day.
I'll give you the gospel of St. John. It's been locked, so wake up, cause we both know that His mercy flows in the morning.
No, I'm serious.